20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks, as always, for being here. We inch closer and closer to the NFL Draft. Speaking of which, the night before the NFL Draft, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., live draft Q&A, meet and greets, all of it, all together, all in one, Hagemeister Park, free entry. Again, 7 to 9, I'm going to be doing the live Q&A. There's going to be, I think, some other Pack-A-Day people there as well, but I'm going to be answering as many questions as I can about the draft. Again, for a good 2 hours, I'll probably hang out a little bit afterwards as well. So make sure to check that out. Come hang out with me over at Hagemeister Park again, 7 to 9 next Wednesday, the night before the draft, pre-draft Q&A. It's going to be absolutely awesome. Really, really looking forward to that. So if you want to make sure you get those questions in, or you want to make sure this is not going to be online anywhere, this is just a live Q&A right at Hagemeister Park. So I'll see you guys there. And like I said, very much looking forward to that. One piece of sort of news and notes from Thursday is that Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show. Now, we don't have to discuss this a ton because Aaron Rodgers is no longer a Green Bay Packer. I was just looking to see, was there going to be some sort of decision? Was there going to be a retirement? Was there going to be a determination of where he was playing in 2025 or if he was going to play in 2025? And there was not, of course. This was more of just, hey, everything's still a possibility. Sounds like there's somebody that he knows very well that's going through a very tough time. So certainly thinking of him for that, and hopefully everything can turn around and go in a better direction than where it's at right now. That stuff is real. That's real life. That's serious. These are not fantasy football players. They're not Madden players. These are real life human beings. Always want the best for what's them, just in general, obviously. And so whatever's going on there, hope it's okay. He says he's in a very serious relationship. And right now at age 41, he is looking out for that stuff first. Totally within the realm of his right to do so. Totally get that. Totally understand that. If those of you are looking for an answer on what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, we are seemingly no closer to that. Says that he will play for as little as $10 million. It's still a lot of money. It was an interesting way of saying that, but I get what he is saying in some extent, that he could probably ask for 20, 30, 40 million. He's not asking for that. You know, he'd play for less. It just sounds like he's not ready to make a commitment yet. The draft is coming up. It will be interesting. He said he's not waiting for Minnesota to change their mind. So it seems like, you know, he has an understanding that Minnesota has made up their mind that they are going with JJ McCarthy, which is where all the reports have continued to be on that topic. And now it seems like it's more of, does he want to play the season at all? And if so, my guess is he ends up in Pittsburgh. But does Pittsburgh transition between now and then? There's nowhere to transition to. You can take a rookie where they're selecting in the draft. There's no guarantee that you get a rookie that's ready to play right now. That could be problematic. Carson Wentz is out there. Maybe they could be the team that tries to talk Ryan Tannehill out of retirement. Maybe Tom Brady will still play and sell his share of the team in Vegas. I don't see that happening. I don't know. I have no idea, but that is still a very interesting topic from an NFL standpoint. That's all I got. There's nothing else to go over. We have no further determination or clarification on what Aaron's going to do in 2025 in a very Aaron Rodgers sort of way. All right. Meanwhile, we did get a little bit of news of who some of these, I guess, celebrities/former NFL player, legends who are going to be announcing some of the draft picks in Green Bay while the draft is in Green Bay. Some former Packers who will be announcing picks include Mason Crosby, of course, colleague of mine over on 105.7 The Fan, the Mason Crosby show right after the Pack-A-Day radio show, Monday through Friday on The Fan. But Mason Crosby is going to be announcing a pick. Amon Green, James Jones, Jerry Kramer, Clay Matthews, Jordy Nelson, and Dave Robinson are those former Packers that will be announcing picks. A lot of former players with Wisconsin ties, including a lot of former Wisconsin Badgers, including Joe Thomas, Jonathan Taylor, Lee Evans, Owen Daniels, Melvin Gordon, Ryan Ramczyk, amongst others. And then some big name former players as well. Patrick Peterson, Jason Sehorn, John Abraham, Sean Alexander. And I am very interested to see the reaction when Richard Sherman takes the stage. He will be announcing a draft pick as well. So that's our news and notes from Thursday. Now we can get into our main topic for today, which is which of these rookies that Green Bay could theoretically, realistically take in the first round could come in and make the biggest impact right now. Now, what you should know about this is that that should not be the way Brian Gutekunst or any GM should be thinking. That's not the way that you want your general manager to think. Any general manager that is thinking for the here and the now for 2025 is usually one that is thinking very short-sighted and is usually worried about their job. That if they don't get somebody to come in and make an impact right now and help this team right now, they're probably going to get fired. And this player that they pick that's going to be better down the road, they're not going to be part of that franchise to celebrate the wins that that player brings further down the road. You want your GM thinking of now, but you want them thinking of the future as well. That is the best mindset that your general manager could be in. So I know we as fans all want that instant impact, that instant gratification. And to be fair, 100% fair, I do believe that usually, not always, and Green Bay is usually a way to look about this in the opposite way, but usually the players that end up being pretty legendary, pretty amazing, all pro type players, kind of come in and make some sort of impact immediately. You can kind of tell right away, all right, this guy's got it. Now, there are exceptions. Aaron Rodgers was an exception. Donald Driver was an exception. I mean, Jordy Nelson was pretty much an exception. Devontae Adams was an exception. There are multiple players in the pantheon of Green Bay history and the draft and develop philosophy that have come in, looked okay or worse from the beginning, and then gone on to have unbelievable careers in Green Bay. David Bakhtiari is an example of that. But usually you do see some impact right away. And I get that aspect of it. But what you're looking at is players that are going to help you overall in the long term. So we all want that instant gratification. We want players to come in and see success right away. But usually this takes a little bit of time. There is a transition period from college to the NFL. There's a ramp up time that it usually takes for the game to start slowing down for these players. And a lot of times that big time impact isn't felt. Think of a Kenny Clark, for example. Kenny Clark was able to come in and have some good snaps right away from year one, played solid football, but his real impact was not felt for a couple of years after that when he started to really come into his own. So a lot of these players may project to be long-term big-time players, but it usually takes a little bit of time for that truly to come to fruition. But that being said, I know everyone is wanting these players to come in and make that impact right away. So which players that Green Bay could take will come in and make that impact? All right. And again, the why I say that the general manager should not be thinking that way is that you should be thinking from a player standpoint. When you're drafting somebody in the first round, you are at minimum, hoping that you're going to get a second contract out of them, right? So you're thinking about 8 to 9 years of this player. Think of 4 or 5 year deal, 4 years with the team option, the fifth year option to begin with, and then probably another 4 year deal on top of that. You're trying to get them to be an 8-9 year player for your team. That's the hope. That's the goal, that you draft somebody, they're really great, and you get them for 8, 9, maybe even 10 years. And if you get that, you should not be just thinking about what they're going to bring in 2025. You should be thinking of what they're going to bring in 2026 to, 2034 or whatever. Like, that's what you should be looking at. That seems like a crazy number, by the way, 2034. But it's, I guess, less than a decade away. So that's what we're looking at, is what player is going to be able to come in and help this team for the next decade. That's what you're hoping for, not just who's going to help the most in 2025. Also, if you're a general manager, right? And even think about this as a Packer fan. What's more important, 2025 or years 2026, 27, 28, 29 combined, right? This player, even on their, first contract, their first round contract where you get 4 years plus a team option, has 4 years after this on that contract that they're going to likely be on this team. At least 3, almost surely 4. What's more important, this year or the 4 years following it? The 4 years following it, right? So if it takes this year to get that player headed in the right direction, ramping up, going in the right direction, and they become great over the next, 4 seasons and in the future, that is still a very worthwhile investment. I get that it hasn't worked that way for Green Bay in its totality. We're still waiting for that breakout from guys like Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, LVN, et cetera. I get it. We never got it from Eric Stokes. I understand it wholeheartedly. And I'm not trying to sell you any, bag of goods or anything, anything in that direction. We all want what we want, and you can want whatever you want. I'm just saying, in general, the best philosophy is to say what's going to be the best for this franchise in the long term and what's going to be best for the player in the long term, not specifically just 2025. The best way that most teams are able to go into a draft, and they can usually make the best decisions without clouded vision, is if you're ready to go into a game and play. And quite frankly, Green Bay is. I'm not saying they're ready to win a Super Bowl today. You can make an argument that they're not. That's the easier argument to make, quite frankly. But if you go into a game tomorrow with Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, you know, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Romeo Doubs at wide receiver, Tucker Kraft at tight end, starting offensive line of Rasheed Walker, Jordan Morgan at left tackle, with Aaron Banks at left guard, Elgton Jenkins at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, or maybe Jordan Morgan at right guard with Zach Tom at right tackle. I feel pretty good about our starting 11 and where they're looking right now. If you go on defense and you say, you know what, Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt are going to be the tackles, Rashawn Gary and we'll say LVN as your defensive ends, Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker at linebacker, Javon Bullard in the slot, Nate Hobbs and Keyshawn Nixon on the outside with Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety, Daniel Whalen punting, maybe Keyshawn Nixon or Marshawn Lloyd doing some kick returning, Mecole Hardman doing the punt returning. Why can't I think of his name all of a sudden? The kicker, Brandon McManus. Sorry, I had a million kickers go through my mind since there was like 17 kickers in camp last year, but Brandon McManus at kicker, Daniel Whalen at punter, and then Orzik as your long snapper with a variety of different depth pieces all along the roster. Malik Willis backing up, Marshawn Lloyd backing up. We can go on and on. I don't need to go through everyone on the roster right now, but you can go and compete with almost any team right now. Whether they win or not, the game needs to be played. Where they're playing, who's healthy, those sort of things matter. But Green Bay can go and compete with anyone with their roster right now. So they have the luxury of saying, hey, we can go with best player available, somebody that can hopefully help us now, but we can help, you know, hope that maybe is going to help us definitely in the long term as well. I think Green Bay's in a great spot. Would you love upgrades at corner? Absolutely. Would you love upgrades at defensive tackle, defensive end? Unequivocally. Would you like some more depth along the offensive line? Absolutely. Would you like a playmaking wide receiver to help those guys out? No question about it. Those are no-brainers, and I think we know, especially based on the top 30 visits, that Green Bay is going to add players to those positions. But Green Bay's in a good spot. They can look long-term, and they can go over, you know, exactly those positions of need as we get into this draft, depending on who's available on the board. They don't have to do anything, but they have the ability to address it because the roster is pretty darn well-rounded as is right now. Hey, everyone. I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol, and you're going to want to check this out. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but when hanging out with my friends during the college basketball tournament, I gave it a shot, and believe me, it's the real deal. And guess what? Spring is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate warm weather, so before you have those drinks on the patio, that tropical vacation, or go to your best friend's wedding, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great the next day. So go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. So let's get into which of these players that Green Bay takes, potentially in the first round, would make the most impact. This has to be within the realm of reality. Guess what? Abdul Carter would come in and make an unbelievable impact. He is not going to be there. So I'm going to give some honorable mentions, first of all. I'm going to give an honorable mention to a player that will not be taken in the first round, but I do think could come in and make an instant impact. That is Jack Besh, or Beck. I'm not exactly sure which one it is. I should have looked it up. Like I've told you guys a million times, when you're watching All 22, you get no announcer, so you don't always see the names, get the names as clearly. But Jack Besh, wide receiver out of TCU. He is a player that I do think can come in, make an instant impact. Outside wide receiver, you can play him in the slot as well. He is NFL ready. He knows how to get open deep, intermediate, and short. He's a great run after the catch guy. He can get open deep down the field. I think he's ready to come in and make an impact right away. Not going to be a first rounder. Man, if they could get him in the second, I would be thrilled. He's my wide receiver that I would love Green Bay to come out away with in this draft. I don't care how they have to do it, moving out of the first into the second and taking him in early second, a la Jordy Nelson. Moving up in the second round, a la Christian Watson, what they did there, I don't really care, but I would love to get Jack back out of this specific draft. Honorable mentions that would, I think, come in and make an impact right away, but I just do not see a world in which they're Green Bay Packers. Mike Green, the edge rusher. Yes, if they got him, I do think his pass rush ability would come in and play right away. I just think, A, he's probably gone, and B, with the off-field stuff and the size that they usually don't go for, I don't think he's going to be a Packer. And then Luther Burden, I've talked about him, my favorite wide receiver in this draft. I just don't think that he is going to be their specific type. I don't think they're going wide receiver round one. I think Burden will be gone before they pick in round two. So that's, at least I don't think they're going Burden round one. I'll put it that way. So I don't think he's going to be a Green Bay Packer. I think he's probably kind of in a little bit of no man's land for Green Bay, but I do think if they somehow got him, he would be able to come in and make an impact as well. Honorable mentions, just in general. All right, they're probably there in the first round, or at least could be there in the first round, but they didn't quite make my top 10 list. Emeka Egbuka, I do think, despite him, I think being a better slot receiver, and you kind of have Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks amongst others who can play there, I still feel like he is a good enough wide receiver that he's going to be able to come in and make some impact right away. Because he is the best in the slot and you have Reed there, whereas another team that might have two outside wide receivers and have that opening in the slot, I don't think Green Bay is like quite that perfect 1A fit where it's just like clearly he's going to come in and make a big impact, but I do still think he'd make an impact on this team. So he's an honorable mention. James Pierce, I don't expect to be Green Bay's type at defensive end, but I do think there's a world where if you use him as a certified specific pass rusher, that he could come in and be a solid pass rusher from day one. Add to your team, add some speed, add some athleticism, and be a rotational guy right away. Don't think he's going to be a Packer, and he's not probably the perfect fit because, again, in from an impact standpoint, because he's probably more pass rush only at this point, but I think he would definitely help in that regard, and therefore he gets an honorable mention as well. And then Maxwell Hairston. Here's the thing. I think Hairston would be able to come in and compete for starting corner day one. That said, I think he's a little bit more raw than maybe some of the other corners, and I could see a world in which you start off with Hobbs and Nixon on the outside, with Bullard in the slot, and even Valentine starts ahead of Hairston. So I think Hairston before the end of the season, I would put this very much in Edgerrin Cooper territory, meaning, well, first of all, I'm not saying he would make that big of an impact like Cooper did, but meaning if you look at the beginning of the season, you know, Cooper was only playing 5, 8, 10 snaps here or there. Meanwhile, there were other players that were on the field that you're like, can we please just get Edgerrin Cooper on the field? I could see Hairston being one of these guys that maybe gets a package here or there for the first 8 weeks of the season, playing a handful of snaps. But then by the end of the year, he's getting those starting reps and making a big time impact like Edgerrin Cooper did. Maybe not quite to that extent, but I could see that. So I don't know that he comes in and starts immediately and is like the guy at outside corner right away, but I could see him working his way into the lineup by the end of the year and still having an impact on the team. So because I don't know that he would come in right away day one, I'm going to put him more as an honorable mention, but he is in that conversation as well. I certainly think he would help the team in some real way in 2025. And that brings us to our true top 10. Top 10 players that would help Green Bay in the first round right away. Number 10 is Shamar Stewart. Could he be higher on this list? Sure. And I like Shamar Stewart a lot. I am baking in some idea that, hey, we've seen this story before. We've seen it with Rashawn. We saw it with LVN. Sometimes these players on the edge that have his sort of draft profile can take a little bit of time. Now, I am of the true belief. Doesn't mean that I'm right, but I'm of the true belief that Stewart is going to come in and make an impact sooner than what LVN did for sure. We don't know if LVN's really ever going to make that impact, but sooner than LVN would. And I think even sooner than what Rashawn Gary did. I think he can come in and cause some havoc right away, be a rotational guy right away, and be somebody that gets you, I'm going to say, 6 sacks, maybe in 2025. I think that, now, I know some of you are immediately thinking, oh, Andy, yeah, great. 6 sacks in 2025. Tell that to the 4.5 sacks he had in his career, the 1.5 that he had last year. But yeah, sure, he can have 6 sacks in 2025. I'm telling you, I think that's the type of impact that he can make. They're going to use him different than Texas A&M did. They're going to use him as a true edge rusher. He's primarily probably going to be a pass rusher this year. I also think he's going to be somebody who can play on rundowns, but I am baking in a little bit of that. Hey, the productivity wasn't there in college, And sometimes these type of players do take a little bit to kind of ramp up in the NFL and get going. So for that reason, I'm putting him at number 10, but I do think at minimum, he would be a rotational piece and pass rusher that could win from day one and help this team in some real way. Number 9, Trey Amos. This is a tricky one. I think Trey Amos is a second round guy. If he is a first round Green Bay Packer, I don't think it's at 23. I think they traded down maybe to the end of round one and maybe took him there. However, I also believe that Trey Amos is ready to come in and play right now as an outside corner. I don't love the upside for Amos the way that I do Hairston or Jadae Barron or one of those type of corners, but I do think he's NFL ready, and I think he's ready to come in and be potentially a starter from day one. I would be willing to bet you that he beats out Carrington Valentine, and I think he would be in the conversation with Nixon and Hobbs to be a starter legitimately, even if Javon Bullard is in the slot. Or they just say, sorry, Javon Bullard, we're using Hobbs in the slot. We're going with Amos and Nixon on the outside. So I think he's ready to come in, contribute right away, be maybe a good corner, not a great corner. I'm not sure he ever gets to that greatness status, but I think he's ready to be good right now. I think there's a high floor there. I think he makes a ton of impact as a playmaker. I think his playmaking fits this defense incredibly well. And I would be pretty stunned if he couldn't come in and help this team pretty immediately at corner. Number 8, this is another one I would love to put higher on this list. A couple things we have to discuss here. Donovan Ezeraku, edge rusher, Boston College, defensive end for Green Bay. I don't think he's likely to be a Packer because of the height and the weight. That's not been their type. If I were a betting man, I would say not a Packer. He could be gone. Even if he's there, I think there's a strong chance Green Bay doesn't take him. However, he does have that connection with Halfley and Vince Ogabasi, the assistant defensive line coach. He is somebody that is different than what you have on this roster currently in LVN and Brenton Cox and Enigbare and Rashawn Gary. And he is a heck of a pass rusher. Now, what I said the other day, I think it was on a live chat, but what we thought, a player that we thought was ready to come in and make a big time impact right away in the NFL, that at all of these different moves and this unbelievable skill set, was Laiatu Latu, the edge rusher that went to Indianapolis. A little bit undersized, but all the tricks of the trade, great spin move, great speed off the edge, could bend, do a lot of the things Donovan Ezeraku can do. But Latu took some time. He was not ready in 2024. He did not come in and make a big impact in 2024. So I'm baking in a couple things here. Number one, he's probably not going to be a Packer, I don't think. Even if he is, it probably takes him a little bit of time to acclimate. Probably needs to put on a little bit more strength, show that he can bull rush some players as well. But I also think there's a world where he just comes in and says, listen, I'm a super skilled pass rusher. I'm a hunter. I know how to get to the quarterback. Put me in on passing downs, and I'm going to get there. And I believe him, and I trust him in that statement. Like, if you were to say that, I would say, yeah, I totally believe it. I love him. I think he's a ready-made pass rush specialist in the NFL that can also play the run. He's got long arms. He's got every move under the sun that he's pretty dang good at. To me, he's somebody that would come in and make an immediate impact. But again, Latu's a sort of cautionary tale, and I don't know that they're necessarily going to take him either. So that's why he's at number 8 on my list. Number 7 is Tet McMillan. I have a hard time believing that if Green Bay would somehow draft Tet McMillan, he doesn't make an impact in 2025. Things have gone very wrong if that's probably the case, right? Either there's been an injury or he just was not as good as you expected. And there's a chance that if they take him, they moved up to get him, right? So if he's not making an impact, again, there's going to be some nervousness because he should be able to do that, especially if you're going up to get him. He should be able to be right away your number one wide receiver on the outside. He should be better than Romeo Doubs. He should be better than Dontavian Wicks. Christian Watson's out hurt. Like, that's the expectation. Now, I don't think that he's just completely NFL ready either. I think he's going to have to put on some strength. I think he's going to have to deal with more physicality in the NFL than he did in college. But I think he's going to be ready for that challenge. And I think just the fact that he would get the opportunity, I think, to basically be at worst, Green Bay's number two outside wide receiver opposite Romeo Doubs, I think is going to give him a huge opportunity to make that impact right away. So number 7, Tet McMillan. Number 7 is Mykel Williams. Now, here's the thing with Mykel Williams. I am less confident that he is ready to come in and make an impact as a pass rusher. I think that might take a little bit of time. I would be pretty stunned, however, if he's not ready to come in and be a hell of an edge setter and somebody that can really give you a big time player on rundowns. And that matters. Now, I get it. Is it the impact that you're hoping for from him long term? No, you're hoping that he becomes a dynamic edge rusher that can both rush the passer and be that big time run defender. But at worst, you're getting somebody on early downs that is going to give you a hell of an edge setter. It's going to funnel things back inside and is maybe going to give Rashawn Gary and friends, especially Rashawn Gary, maybe the opportunity to not have to play as much on early downs. Maybe save Rashawn a little bit more for those obvious passing downs. You can probably go with LVN and Mykel Williams on early downs. Probably go Brenton Cox and Mykel Williams on early downs and then save LVN and Rashawn Gary for more passing downs. But either way, I do expect that Mykel will be able to come in and help this team in some real way, even if that way is more likely run defense. Number five is Derek Harmon. Harmon, I could also make a very easy case for, could go higher on this list, maybe even number one on this list. I believe he's NFL ready. I believe he can stop the run. I believe he can be a big time pass rusher. But I want to go back to what I said about Kenny Clark. They're not complete, exact, like, you know, similar players here in Kenny and Harmon. And Harmon's a little bit older than Kenny was when Kenny came out of the draft. But remember, like, Kenny was good against the run, good against the pass, but it took him a couple of years to really kind of get integrated into a defense, right? I could see something similar with Harmon where he can clearly come in and help you right now. Be a solid pass rusher, solid run defender, but he's probably more just average at both coming into the league. And it's not probably until year two, year three, year four, where he more breaks out in a significant way and just becomes one of the best defenders on the team. That would be a little bit more my expectation. Do I think there's a world in which he can come in and make an impact sooner? Sure. That's always a tough thing to bet on, especially a defensive tackle. Those usually take a little bit of time to ramp up. So the fact that, you know, he's not this 1A run defender and that he's going to have to find a way to win as a pass rusher and then also be stout enough against the run, that leaves me a little bit more doubt that he can come in and make that massive impact. But I would, again, be very surprised if he doesn't come in and help in some way. Number four is Matthew Golden. I believe that he is NFL ready as a wide receiver. He is crisp in his routes. He's got great hands, run after the catch, really good speed. Can play outside or inside. I get that he was sort of a four-game wonder at the end of this past year. I don't know why. I watch the tape and all I can go off of is what I see from a trait standpoint. From a trait standpoint, everything's there. And when given the opportunity, he consistently made plays, especially in big games at the end of this year when Texas was competing at the highest level in college football to try to win a national championship. I see somebody that's going to come in and, like I said earlier, or just on previous shows, is going to be able to kind of come in and make the same impact that Greg Jennings did when he came in to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. He was ready to come in and play as a rookie right away. He got better as time went along, but I see Matthew Golden in a similar way. Line him up outside. He's a good route runner. He needs to work on man-to-man, especially press man-to-man and getting off press man-to-man. Can work on his releases, can get better in his route running, but I just see a solid outside wide receiver that's going to bring something different to the table than they have right now. For that reason, he comes in at number four on my list. Number three, not my favorite prospect in this draft. Not somebody that I'm necessarily crossing my fingers and hoping for at pick 23, but I know a lot of people are. And like I've said before, he's a perfect fit within this Jeff Hafley defense. That is Will Johnson. However you think of Will Johnson, whether you love him or don't like him or anything in between, it's hard to argue that he's not a perfect fit for this defense. And it's hard to argue that he wouldn't get a pretty early shot to make an impact as a starting corner in Green Bay. I think he'd immediately go ahead of Carrington Valentine on obvious passing downs. You're probably going Hobbs in the slot with Johnson and Nixon on the outside. And with his playmaking ability in this defense, with Jeff Hafley setting those players up for success with eyes on the football and the ability to go attack and make plays, Will Johnson is a very great fit for this defense. And I think he's going to enjoy that flexibility and versatility. I think he's going to enjoy getting some playing time right away. And I think, unlike a Josh Jackson, who they set up poorly for success when he came to Green Bay, I think they're going to have Will Johnson in this situation be set up perfectly for success in this defense, get off to a strong start, and hopefully go on to have a great career as a Green Bay Packer, if in fact they would take him. Number two is Kenneth Grant. And this one should be fairly obvious. Kenneth Grant as a pass rusher is probably going to take some time. I don't think he's going to be able to come in and replicate a, you know, Dexter Lawrence type player. He probably never will. Dexter Lawrence is a freak and a one of one. But even before he gets to his prime, there's going to be some hiccups along the way, specifically as a pass rusher. I see a 0.0% chance where 330-pound super freaky athlete Kenneth Grant cannot come in and help as a run defender and early down defender from day one. He should be able to come in and eat some of those double teams and free up those linebackers and penetrate into the backfield and make it a pain for teams to have to block him in the middle of this defense. Whether he's there remains to be seen. Whether they take him, I'm not quite positive, but I am fairly certain that if they take him, he's going to be able to make some impact specifically on run defense with his size and his physicality from day one. So number two, Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle out of Michigan. And last but not least, not sure how feasible this one is. Maybe Green Bay would have to move up. Maybe he's gone in the top 10, but there are some mock drafts I've seen where he lasts until pick 23. That is Jahdae Barron. Speaking of Will Johnson, Jahdae Barron is another player who I think is a perfect fit for Jeff Hafley's defense. He would easily, in my opinion, and I say easily, be Green Bay's top corner from day one. I think he's better than Hobbs. I think he's better than Nixon. Figure out the rest how you want. If you want to put Hobbs in the slot, Nixon outside, or you want to, you know, have Hobbs and Nixon fight it out for the other starting spot and keep, you know, you go whatever direction you want, right? Like you can go with a big nickel still with Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety, Javon Bullard in the big nickel. You can work it out in a variety of different ways. But to me, you could put Jahdae Barron in the slot. You could put Nixon and Hobbs on the outside and put Barron in the slot. There are so many ways that you could go about this, but his playmaking, his alpha mentality, his tackling, his coverage ability in both man and zone, he's fit perfect for Jeff Hafley's defense. He's a big time playmaker, and I would see him of all the players in this draft that could come in and make an impact right away for Green Bay. To me, Jahdae Barron is number one on that list. So to recap, some honorable mentions, Jack Besh, probably first or not a first round guy. And in fact, I think very likely not a first round guy. Some honorable mentions that likely are not going to be Green Bay Packers, Mike Green and Luther Burden. Some just general honorable mentions that, you know, basically numbers 13, 12, and 11 on my list. Emeka Ibuka, James Pearson, Maxwell Hairston. Number 10, Shamar Stewart. 9, Trey Amos. 9, Donovan Ezeraku. 7, Tet McMillan. 6, Michael Williams. 5, Derek Harmon. 4, Matthew Golden. 3, Will Johnson. 2, Kenneth Grant. And number 1, Jahdae Barron. Let me know what you think. Which Packer potential draft pick in round one would have the biggest impact on this team right away? Would love to know what you guys think. Hit me up in the comments below. I will see you guys back here tomorrow. We are getting closer and closer. We are winding up our draft coverage pre-draft. We've only got a handful of days left before we get to Thursday, which is crazy to say. Got a lot of great content coming out for you guys. Make sure to check it all out. Like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. Check out Packaday Podcast YouTube memberships if you've not done so already. Shout out to those All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gessford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Conner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, and Ian Houle. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack out.